Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football, or maybe we'll call them the Brownies this week with Brownie the Elf making his appearance as the midfield logo. I don't know. Maybe we'll ask John Telich as he joins us on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. JT, we got to start with Brownie the Elf. I know that wasn't exactly in the agenda today, but he gets his debut on the 50-yard line this week as the Browns get ready to take on the New York Jets. Obviously, quite a reaction, not just from Browns fans, but around the league with Brownie the Elf coming back. What do we make of all that?
Well, I think a lot of people that are not aware of the history were making some comments that weren't that favorable towards our buddy Brownie the Elf. But if you're a Browns fan and you go back many, many, many years, you understand the origins of Brownie. So, hey, he takes up 10 yards from his foot to the back of his head, just standing up on the at the center part of the field at First Energy. So there's 10 yards worth of extremely accurate painting by the grounds crew, and they'll be working feverishly as the games go on to keep him touched up as the season goes on. But I think it will also spawn, and the Browns won't shirk away from this one bit, more people getting things that have Elfie Brownie related, stuff on their T-shirts or jerseys or hoodies or what have you. So it's a marketing thing, and it's also an homage to the Browns of old. So we'll see if they can play football like the Browns of old when they were born back in the late 40s.
Well, there you go. I think that's something a lot of fans can get behind. And look, things got off to a good start here in 2022, JT, as the Brownies get that opening week win over Baker Mayfield and the Carolina Panthers. 26-24 was the final score. We all know how it ended by now with a 58-yard game-winning kick from Cade York. And the game really came down to that final possession. And before we get to Cade's performance in that final kick, how about Jacoby Brissett getting them into field goal range? You know, what was the quote? Get him to the 40 or get me to the 40. And that's what he did. What do we make of Jacoby's last drive there and kind of his overall performance throughout his season opener?
Well, I think he's a veteran, and he's been in these types of situations before. As the game went along, he was a bit rusty with his decision-making, and also you saw some inaccuracy, like missing Kareem Hunt on a wheel route down the field. It could have been a huge gain. He had Amari Cooper open, did not throw well to him. So he was touch and go as the game went on, but he was supplemented, obviously, by the great running game, which we will get into. However, when they needed the 35 yards, and yes, there was the controversial spike, not spike thing involved there, and also as the game went on, you had that roughing the passer call as well. But as you know, they went down to the end, they needed 35 yards to get to that point for the kick, and he was able to get them there. And so, you know, he didn't. He kind of played a Jacoby Brissett kind of game. Nothing spectacular. Didn't really hurt them. But I think once they play tougher teams, Rocco, they're going to need this guy to make plays and to be decisive in his decision-making and his throwing. And we didn't see much of that on Sunday. And another thing that's kind of interesting to note, and it's just kind of throwing it out there and not implying one bit that he's better than these guys, but he had a better quarterback rating than Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott. So, wow. And one area where he's pretty good, so if the Jets want to do them any favors, just go ahead and blitz him. He's pretty good at picking up the blitz and making a better throw, a quicker read and reaction to it. So just go ahead and blitz him a bit this week, and we'll see if Jacoby can answer you.
Well, not a bad game from Jacoby at all. I'm with you, JT. I thought there were certainly some areas where he could have been sharper, and we'll see how he's tested against some better defenses. But, yeah, not a bad opener for Jacoby. But all the love has to go to Cade York, man, the rookie kicker. He gets AFC Special Teams Player of the Week, a 58-yard bomb to send the Browns back to Cleveland as a winner. Just, you know, kind of a crazy day for him. And after the game, he talks about he had a terrible warm-up. So how incredible is that he's able to knock home a 58-yard game-winning kick in his first NFL game? That's unbelievable.
It's pretty wild because we are now just going to think of this guy as a 40 and longer kind of a kicker. And anything below that, you know, he had a very productive day in the shorter ones as well. But as you mentioned, Rocco, he said after the game that he just didn't feel comfortable. I'm sure it was a case of the nerves going right from LSU, rookie, drafted in the fourth round, knowing that there's some history with young guys drafted in decent rounds and then go on and have fine rookie campaigns like Evan McPherson of the Bengals did last year. But I think Evan also found out you're only as good as your snapper and your holder, but that's a whole other story. But, yeah, he did say, as you mentioned, Rocco, get me to the 40. And that kick, it did kind of, you know, it was like almost like a nine iron of some sort.
Yeah,
and it had a little bit of draw to it. And it looked like it was, you know, it looked like it was getting, it might not get in, but it drifted to the left just well. But he hit the heck out of that. That probably could have been a 68-yard field goal. For as strong as he put his foot to that football. Very impressive. He's now a cult hero. The T-shirt companies are already in full swing, Rocco. So get ready for Yorktown and the Yorkland, or however you want to say it.
Oh, boy.
Cade York has arrived here in Cleveland.
Well, that's something that plenty of fans can get behind. No more do we have to joke on Sunday afternoons, hey, what's Phil Dawson doing right now? You know, we finally got a long-term solution, knock on wood, for that one. So, yeah, shout out to Cade York, an excellent week one. Again, your AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. And again, John Telich is our guest on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, JT. What a day for those two. I thought Kareem Hunt especially showed out. That's the kind of performance I think Browns fans are expecting from these two week in and week out, especially with Deshaun Watson out for these first 11 games.
Yeah, they have to be a little bit more creative. They certainly have heard the hue and cry from fans, media, and what have you, wanting to see both of those guys on the field together. There were only six plays where you had Chubb and Hunt in the backfield together, and even on a couple of those, Kareem was in motion, including that wheel route that he, had the incomplete pass, the long pass down the left sideline. But Chubb was just phenomenal. This guy forced 11 missed tackles on Sunday, the next best guy in the National Football League to have an amount of missed tackles was at the number five ranking, if you will. So he forced 11 missed tackles. He had his 22 carries, 141 yards, just a spectacular day from Nick Chubb. That's, when you watched him run, you saw exactly why he is among the top two or three running backs in all of football. And of course, we're biased here in Cleveland. We think he is the best. He's just so fun to watch. Kareem had a great game. Used not as much, obviously, as Chubb, but used more in the passing game, which I think is one of the ways that they've got to continue to use him. Caught a touchdown pass and ran for one. That's the seventh time that he has done that in his career. He came in the league in 2017, and only three other guys in the league since that time in 2017 have had more double, you know, catching and running for scores games, and those are McCaffrey, Zeke Elliott, and Alvin Kamara. So that's pretty clutch company. But as I mentioned, also a bit about Kareem. Chubb had those 11 missed tackles. Well, Kareem only had 11 rushes on the day, but he had four missed tackles in his short amount of time that he ran the football. So he does the exact same type of thing, maybe with not as much force that Nick seems to do, but both of those guys are great at making people miss, or if somebody lays a hand on him, they blow right past him. He was impressive, and we saw why they're the best combo in the league.
The big fellas paving the way for those two, the offensive line. I haven't seen too many gripes about that unit. maybe a little bit on Jedrick Wills. There was one Twitter thread in particular that was maybe calling him out a bit and hoping for some better effort moving forward. But overall, what do we make of the offensive line through 1 week of play?
Yeah, I think he was a bit inconsistent, and I think I'm wondering where we're going to see Jedrick Wills really be consistent and be aggressive for a whole game. It seems like sometimes you look at him on one play and you go, you know, where's the effort? It doesn't seem to be as great as the play-in and play-out effort you seem to get from Joel Bitonio and Wyatt Teller, guys that are consistent as Pro Bowlers. Teller had a great game. He graded out the best of the linemen, and I thought Wyatt Teller on several plays, you saw him take care of two guys on one play where he'd work a little double team to his right to nudge a defensive lineman to the outside, and then he'd come through the hole a bit and take care of the second level to give Nick some room to run. He was very impressive, and I think he's been that way since he has become a Cleveland Brown. I'm sure a lot of it also can trace back to their great offensive line coach who makes real good lineman even better. And I thought the youngster Hudson played pretty good.
Yeah.
He did have that one penalty, but I think, you know, he was a little aggressive in his run block, you know, going downfield when he didn't need to on one play, got a penalty for it. But I thought, not having Jack Conklin, it wasn't cause for a super amount of concern. I thought there were some points where Hudson played pretty well. So that's something to look at moving forward. And, of course, we'll gauge as this week goes on, Rocco, heading into the Jets game, whether or not we will see Jack Conklin out there on Sunday.
Before we start to break down that Jets matchup, JT, the defense, I thought they were solid pretty much up until the end of the game, where they almost kind of threw things away with some really bad lapses, especially in that secondary. Big concerns with that side of the ball, or not really after week one?
Well, I think you still have some of the young defensive backs in there. You know, you have Newsom's only in his second year. You have the rookie Emerson, a young player. They mixed a lot of their coverages. And so, you know, on a couple of plays, they were gashed quite badly, including the Robbie Anderson 75-yarder. But what they did to start the game was what you have to do against Baker. You keep him in the pocket. You get him to the point where he's throwing the ball and your big guys can get their claws on it and knock it down. That happened quite a bit. And when they had got the defensive line guys being outside a little bit more, that kept Baker from his patented rollouts or bootlegs and what have you. And so I thought they did a real good job on him. Those lapses by the defense kind of let folks back in the game, the Carolina guys, to make it a super interesting nail-biting contest. But by and large, there were areas where you liked the performance. Like JOK had a real good, highly graded game. I love what he can bring. I'm a little concerned about Jason Phillips. He had like 20 snaps on the day, and I think he needs to play better. So we'll have to watch that as they go forward. But when you look at, the top guy on the defensive side, without a doubt, was Miles. Miles had the highest grade in the National Football League of anybody on the defensive side of the ball. So you expect that kind of play from Miles, and you got it. He was incredibly, just the type of Pro Bowl and All Pro type of talent that we've come to be accustomed to seeing here in Cleveland. And Clowney, you know, for his snaps on the field, I thought he played well. He knocked some balls down, had half of a sack. So they got to get rid of those lapses, and there are going to happen. You come up against a team in a few weeks, like the Chargers with Justin Herbert, and you got to worry about the whole field. You've got to be on the top of your game. So I think that was kind of like a great opening performance, but clear up some of those lapses, and I think you're going to be okay.
Well, that brings us to the Jets, JT, as the Browns will have their home opener against those New York Jets this Sunday, 1 o'clock, with Joe Flacco, of all people, leading the Jets offense onto the field. On paper, JT, I think this is one that pretty much everyone thinks the Browns should go ahead and win. How do they lose this one? Do they pretty much have to beat themselves in order to take the L here? How do we see this playing out Sunday?
Yeah, I think they do. They've got, if they're going to be fumbling the ball away or throwing picks, then they're going to open the door for the Jets. But the Jets, they've got a long way to go. Flacco threw the ball almost 60 times on Sunday. He threw it. He was 37 for 59. And when they lost to the Ravens, of course, they saw the back end of Lamar Jackson and his great talent as Lamar is playing for that contract that Deshaun Watson got. So last week we thought the Browns would win 24-21. I'll pop ahead this week and say home opener, the rabid home crowd, the celebration of the greatness of a Joe Thomas in the house, all of those types of things, and other greats as well. But all of those things should see the Browns have a strong performance on both sides of the ball. So I say they're going to win by 14, 31-17. That's quite a bit more than some people are predicting, but that's how I feel on it. And last week, the rookie kind of bailed most of us out who predicted Cleveland would win, but God bless Cade York in Yorktown.
Hey, a win's a win in the NFL. I don't think anybody can disagree with that. So bailout or not, that's a win for the Browns last week. Looking forward again this week as they take on the New York Jets. JT says the Brownies going to be a winner 31-17. Again, we'll see how it plays out on Sunday, 1 o'clock, Browns and Jets should be a good one. All right, JT, we can finish with some high school football chatter as we always do. It was a wild week 4. Down goes Chardon. Down go the Shoremen of Avon Lake at the hands of their rival, the Avon Eagles. And we're right back into the action here in week 5, and again, another good slate of matchups to take a look at.
Yeah, I was really impressed by what Painesville Riverside did to Chardon. And the reason I say that, Rocco, is the previous week they held Mentor to one touchdown. And so you go, well, Mentor is a Division I program, you know, great consistency that they've had over the last so many years with Coach Tribb and now Coach Gray. And so you expected them to play better than they did. But I think Riverside really took it to them on the defensive side of the ball. And then they go last week, and they only allow one touchdown to Chardon, and that was a long 90-plus yard play. So all in all, in 2 weeks against Mentor and Chardon, they have only given up a couple of touchdowns. So they win that one, and that was an impressive kind of, here we are, take a look at us. We're the eager Beavers of Painesville Riverside. We'll see how they can do. This week you've got, obviously, Avon Lake is at Berea Mid Park. Avon will take on Elyria. And then Iggy at Hoban. That's going to be highly watched. Iggy's very highly ranked in their division in the state. And Hoban has either been a state champion or been in the championship game more times than you can remember. And so that'll be a curious one to watch. That's down in Akron at Akron Hoban. And then St. Edward's, the defending champs in Division I, taking on the Tigers of Maslin, Washington. So there's a few of the games to watch this week. It's going to be a fun one for high school football fans.
Iggy Hoban and Eds Maslin in the same week? What is going on? Well, that's crazy. Wow.
It is.
We'll have our eyes on that for sure. I'll plug our matchups on WEOL real quick. Keystone at Wellington is our radio and stream one game at WEOL.com. Our Medina County matchup on stream three is Strongsville at Medina. I'm excited to see how the Bees look this year. I haven't seen them in person. I saw them last year with Drew Aller, wanting to see what Drew Stoddard looks like, or Danny Stoddard, I should say, looks like under center this year. And JT, I got my eyes on Olmsted Falls at North Ridgeville. The Rangers are 4-0 for the first time since 2009, but this feels like their first real big test of the season. As again, they take on the Bulldogs. So if they can pull that off, I think this Rangers team is for real and they can make some noise. But we'll have to see how that plays out this week.
Yeah, I think so as well. Kudos to North Ridgeville for being at 4-0. And as you mentioned, that's going to be a tough test. But their program's doing pretty nicely here in 2022. We'll see what happens when they take on Olmsted Falls and the tough Bulldogs over there.
Oh, yeah, it'll be a tough one, no doubt about it. So there's your little high school football preview for Week 5, courtesy of John Telledge. We always love talking some high school football with JT. So, again, Browns and Jets this Sunday, 1 o'clock. Should be a fun one. And looking for the Browns to move to 2-0 on the season. We'll see if they can get it done on Sunday again at 1 o'clock against the Jets. JT, thank you as always for the time. Good, sir. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week. Go Brownies. Enjoy the high school football scene here in Week 5, and we'll catch up again next week.
All right, we'll see how the Elfie does. Brownie the Elf. How the Elf does his string of maybe helping the Browns win a home opener, which certainly has not happened that much in the new era. So we'll see what happens with the Browns this week. Thanks, Rocco. We'll talk to you guys next week.